Hello and welcome to The Awakening from Planet Waves. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your friendly and neighborhood astrologer here with the first of the audio readings for this project. Thank you for being a customer of Planet Waves and for trusting me with such deep and important matters as a reading of your astrology. Even in the form of sun signs or whole sign houses, this is not anything that is casual, and I take it as a sacred trust. In this reading, I'm not going to be talking too much about the specific dates of things. I'm going to speak more generally in terms of theme. The specific dates are contained in the AWA ebook that accompanies your reading, and then also where they are germane to our subject matter, I include them in the written readings. My intent in these audio readings is to basically sum up what I have said, or at least take a fresh look at the chart and sum up the themes as I see them. And then also, I have said that I want to place some extra emphasis on professional, vocational matters, matters of one's calling, one's occupation, one's business. Because so much of these readings are about the next massive shift in the digital environment, and I want to talk about how you might be best inclined to adapt to that. Now, speaking of adapt, that really is a major theme here, because there is so much changing in the course of just 18 months. Some of these changes are underway. For example, Pluto is now underway in Aquarius with no more ports of call in Capricorn. The last of those ended in November, and so we are now under the full influence of Pluto in Capricorn till the transition into Pisces begins in 2023. I'll be 79 years old, hopefully doing Pluto and Pisces readings for you at that time. And I will begin by saying that reading for Aries this year is particularly daunting because there is just so much deep astrology happening right in Aries. And this involves two very rare major conjunctions that are always associated with turning of an era. And we, you know, you can go back through history and look for these and find them. And then there is this unusual thing in Aries called the sidereal vernal point, which is where the entire zodiac begins, which takes the most individualistic sign, Aries, the sign of I am, the sign of self-actualization, the sign of one's self-concept and one's relationship to one's body and how one defines oneself, wherever it may appear in a chart. But for you, it is a very personal matter. But when we begin this most personal sign with this thing called the Aries point, the sidereal vernal point, that is this portal into the collective. It's almost like everyone has a phone booth in their house where they could get a call from anyone in the world or make a call to anyone in the world, and that's really their phone. That's now become a thing. That's this innocent little iMac sitting on the desk or on the table. We are all living lives that are much more collectively oriented than ever before. Most people would live their entire life until recently with only a few people knowing what they thought. They could talk to the guy at the bus stop or write a letter to a friend or have a phone call with someone and gossip. And now suddenly anyone has access to a portal that can connect them from anyone to their speaking completely minimally 20 Facebook friends out to their million Instagram followers out to anything, anyone, anywhere. If something that they write does this thing known as go viral, and this is very unusual in history. It is unprecedented in history, and it has come with the complete digital transformation of society. And my view is that people are not prepared for this. They are not ready for this. There is nothing about the human experience that could have possibly prepared every single person, with very few exceptions. I mean, there must be some old ladies in Brighton Beach who have never been on the internet, but I don't think there are very many by now. To prepare every single person for being some form of a public figure, this is absolutely crazy. And it has thrust a great many people into this very strange digital limelight with absolutely no preparation, no map of the territory, no concept of what it's going to do to them, what the effect that their words might have. There are one of the things in the milieu of Substack, which you may read my work there, and it's like, millions of writers on this platform. I bet not one in 1,000 of those writers has ever had their copy reviewed by an editor or faced losing a job they earned and love as a result of one sentence that they write. So there is no internal regulation, largely because there's been no external regulation. And then this thrusts all of us into this information anarchy, toxic anarchy, where there's no telling what's going on. And this puts a tremendous burden on people, not only to have to discern what is true, but to discern what is true about them and for them. 5,000 gurus of the health freedom movement telling us what they think, and another 5,000 people, pick a number, telling you to be a vegan, and then another, the same number of people telling you to eat meat, and you've got the people telling you that your cup of yogurt is going to kill you, and another one saying that the cashew is going to kill you, and on and on and on and on. The pressure to believe things really distills down to the pressure to believe things about yourself. This is a lot of pressure to be under. And at the same time, there is a form of freedom, but this is a very limited and limiting form of freedom. It's a very strange form of freedom. That does not really involve the freedom of movement, and where the freedom of thought is entirely governed by external forces that are monitoring everything we're doing. So where does an individual fit into this? And so with the focus of all of these events, really Aries is the epicenter of the astrology now for the next 18 months or so. That means that in addition to influencing every single person on the planet, it is distinctly personal for you. And that's the challenge of doing a reading for you right now. So obviously with Saturn and Neptune entering Aries over the next year and a half, approximately, which gets going quite soon. It's going to be on us before we turn around. We're talking about the spring, Northern Hemisphere spring of 2025. And because these events have a wide time orb, we're already feeling it in many ways. And then the Chiron-Eris conjunction in Aries, which last happened in 71, 72, and then there was a very significant one the year the Gutenberg press was introduced to the world. The technology that most changed everything on our planet and formed the concept of what a human being is happened under the conjunction of Chiron and Eris in Aries. Remember, it takes Eris 556 years to make it once around the zodiac. Hopefully that's not too loud. It takes 556 or so years to make it once around, and so the digital revolution is coinciding with astrology very similar to the book revolution. And what these things do is they completely change who a person is and what they think they are. And so the most important thing I can suggest here, under the influence of this unprecedented astrology, is to keep your sense of who you are and who you think you are in your awareness, to maintain your awareness of where you stand with yourself at all times. Now, this is a special and unusual thing for a person to do, to really have a conscious relationship with themselves where they know where they stand with themselves. These are the most self-aware people who are able to do this, and I reckon there are relatively few in the entire human family. Most people are getting their information about themselves, supposedly about themselves, from external factors, from external sources that have no internal moorings except for fear. That's the thing that most people are tracking as their reference point for what's real about them, is their fear level. And the more fearful something makes someone, the more real that it is. You're going to need a better way to track yourself. And there's a lot of reasons why self-awareness is not popular. It's difficult. It's inconvenient. It can require therapy, which requires looking at things that we don't want to see in our past and potentially our past actions that we don't want to look at, and painful experiences of in our lives. But I cannot see a way around this for you. And I think that the most important things that you can track are your relationship to your fear and what you think it means, and what you believe. Now, there's a planet I haven't mentioned that's moving into Aries. I kind of get around to it every now and then, but this really deserves a whole article. So we'll get one fairly soon. And it's one of the planets that it's a relatively new planet. Let's see when this thing made its appearance. But I first delineated it in 2011. And in that delineation, I kind of predicted the Fukushima incident. I didn't use those words, but it is described in an article about this point called Borsisi, in an article that was published a week before the Fukushima thing. And it is well worth reading a 1963 book by Kurt Vonnegut called Cat's Cradle. So the point, Borsisi. Let's see. Discovery of Borsisi. Borasisi. Borsisi. Oh, please. Borasisi. 1999. So this is a creature of the digital age. In terms of its planetary presence, because I think the digital age begins on Y2K. The full digital conditions begins the moment we think the entire digital environment is going to collapse society, right? The stoplights are all going to think it's 1900, and the computing systems, and you're going to get your phone bill. Wouldn't that be nice to get a phone bill for, you know, January 1st, 1900 on January 1st, 2000, and so forth? Cat's Cradle, you will wish it was longer. It's very short, and it's wicked funny. And there's a god in Cat's Cradle called Borsisi. So while Saturn and Neptune are going to be the big stars of the show entering Aries, I think that we may be able to find a much better summary of these themes in Borsisi. And Borsisi is about what people believe and why they believe it. And it's also about the lies that make life livable. So you can't eat a piece of chicken and think too much about what this chicken went through to get onto your plate, for example. But you have to eat the chicken, because if you're not a vegan, you've got to eat some meat or some meat products. And if you're a vegetarian and you're thinking, well, I'm going to drink some iced goat milk, then you're participating in the slaughter of all the male goats, because only the females make the milk, and so forth. So Borsisi is about these kind of convenient little deceptions and denials that we have to live with, and it is about lies and truth substituting for one another. Borsisi is the sun god in Cat's Cradle. And I think it embodies all the themes of the novel Cat's Cradle. Now, what's interesting is the discoverers were Trujillo, Liu, and Jewett. And I talked to all of them, and no one could tell me how it got that name. And the discoverers are supposed to name it. It's the first planet ever named for a fictional deity. Okay, so what this is saying, and this really sums up the Saturn-Neptune conjunction that's going to happen in Aries, is you must keep your pulse, your finger on the pulse of what you believe and why you believe it. And this means knowing the difference between a belief and a fact that you have personally investigated and vetted. So a belief requires absolutely no work. It is usually the simplest equation, the simplest solution and the simplest analysis. And usually a belief is based on what terrorizes us. And again, what is fearful is presumed to be true. This is completely ridiculous. But if you can start to tease apart the layers of understanding, of knowledge, of information, of belief, of expectation, you will have an important resource when it comes to working with these very large influences that are about to impose themselves on you. They're going to show right up. And they're not only going to show right up, they're going to show right up from a hidden dimension to you, which is Pisces. Pisces is a hidden dimension most of the time, but you have Pisces as your 12th place, right? That is really the hidden dimension. So Borsisi's been hanging out there, Saturn's hanging out there, Neptune's hanging out there right now, and then they're all going to come into Aries and form a series of conjunctions in a very short time. And Saturn speaks to fear quite a bit. Neptune speaks to belief, delusion, deception, denial, imagination, fantasy, the avoidance of things that are usually represented by Saturn. And the tool, the resource that you can use to kind of keep all of this sorted out is this kind of group of ideas from Borsisi, which are mainly questions about what do you believe, and what do you hold to be true, and why do you hold it to be so? And again, this takes quite a bit of self-awareness. But these forthcoming events in Aries are talking about a radical shift in self-awareness for everyone. But since we in this fictional story of astrology, you embody Aries, well, this is about you. So the thing that it's important to remember here is that you need outlets for the kinds of pressure that you're going to be under. You're going to need to vent this pressure somewhere. And the best way to vent pressure is creatively. You know, there's only so much pressure you can vent by going to the gym or running 15 miles or climbing up a mountain. I think these are meaningful to a point, but the psyche wants to become more. The psyche wants to grow. The soul is a learning process. It's not a thing. It's not this object that you have in your pocket. It is an active learning process that through which you discover your reality. You discover your existence and gradually make peace with yourself and your existence. Have a life something akin to what you imagine is possible. Now, the best thing I can say about this astrology is that it points to a lot being possible that you may not have ever conceived of being possible before. And so it is therefore going to be helpful to keep your imagination fully engaged and to express yourself in a diversity of ways that challenge you to tap into something deep in yourself. Now, of these two conjunctions in Aries, and Boris Cici is going to be dancing around Saturn-Neptune conjunction. I'll plot that out in an ephemeris soon, probably today, to just get a better sense of the actual dates. But they don't really matter so much. We're really talking 2025 and 2026 in broad sweeping terms. The conjunction of Chiron, which has been in Aries since 2018, so whatever you went through in transformations in 2018, 2019, a very significant marker of what Chiron and Aries is about for you, and then pretty much everyone alive, except for those old people that you read about in the Guinness Book of World Records, was born with Chiron, Eris and Aries. So Eris and Aries dates back about 100 years. So there's not that many people. There's not many centenarians running around. So we're at the point where, you know, anyone who could possibly be hearing this reading has Eris and Aries. And what Eris and Aries has represented has been this gradual unraveling of the individual self created by typography, the interior sense, the distance between subject and object, the ability to think of oneself as different from one's environment. All of these are things that were unraveled practically overnight by the imposition of broadcast mass media and electricity itself in the 1920s. And there were two points of, well, there was a major point of reckoning for this in the early 70s, where there was a kind of a pushback against it, and where there were a lot of people, certainly more than you would think of now, recognizing that going for therapy would be a helpful thing, a lot of group process work being invented, some of it, you know, complete bullshit and controversial. Some culty and some of it kind of on the line, like Earhart seminar trainings, where there were, I think, things learned by people, but it too was kind of crazy culty. My therapist out in Seattle was a trainer for Earhart seminar trainings. This was a creature of Chiron-Eris conjunction in the early 1970s. So there was a pushback against all this tribalism created by electricity, and now we're back into this point again. And so what you may be feeling is a lot of pressure to really emerge as yourself, and it may feel like you want to do this all at once, like, oh my God, you realize I've been living this other self or this mask or facade or this thing that was not really fully me. And now I really, really want to be me. But not all at once. You got to take bites. I'm really talking about self-actualization, which is a theme, a topic that does not really exist in our world today. Today we think about getting the next device. We think about moving on to the next relationship or following the next trend. And compared to certain previous eras in history, I would say the late 1800s out to maybe the 1970s, there was much more cultural availability of the idea of self-actualization and materials that would support that experience. By which I mean writers like Alan Watts. There's no one like him, but Watts is a great person to read if you have a spiritual orientation and you're interested in self-actualization. Another very important book is Games People Play by Dr. Eric Byrne, which is essentially a catalog of psychological games that people play with one another, including cultural games. So games the whole culture plays, movements and things like this, that block intimacy. Intimacy means into me see. Intimacy is your connection with yourself. And then intimacy with others is introspection that we share. And so the thing changing in all of this areas for you is your relationship to yourself is changing. And really, there can't be that much pressure in your relationship to yourself. I mean, that's not going to work as a pressurized thing, like a power washer. Like a dental cleaning tool. It has to be something that is gentle, where you turn your awareness inward in a time when, particularly through all of this explosive activity in Aries over the past, really in our era, there's been like one thing after the next since the 1920s, of which now we're about to arrive at the very crescendo of that. In our lifetimes, is this has to be a gentle process of turning inward toward yourself. And so, what you fear and what you believe, and distinguishing belief from knowledge are crucial tools. They may seem very underwhelming to think about this, but they will get you a long way. And then another important monitor is your sense of what is possible for you and your rebellion against preconceived ideas of what is not possible for you. And we are all inheriting the limits of our parents, and very few of our parents provide a real stepping stone or willing to give you something to raise yourself up on. A great many parents are more interested in holding their children back, and I know modern parents would agree with this, but modern parents are obsessed with fear in a way that parents of previous generations could simply not afford to be. There were no baby monitors and cell phones to track everyone, and nobody had the time and the inclination to track every movement of a kid or a young adult all day and all night. Now they're tracked by satellite. And this has instilled quite a bit of anxiety. And I think that the millennial generation, basically now in its late 20s to late 40s, is the one that has taken this baby on board type of parenting on the chin. And I know there's a lot of millennials tuning in to this. And so what I'm suggesting is that there is always the necessary element of recognizing and exceeding your parents' limitations on who and what you are. But grandparents might be involved. Usually they're a little more supportive than parents, but the grandparents are often responsible for the mishigas of the parents of the very strange and often insane ways of the parents. All right. So moving out of Aries a little bit, and remembering that Boris Cici is your best friend, and I promise you I'll write a lot about Boris Cici this year because it's such a beautiful point. And the article which I will link is called "With Love from Boris Cici," from March of 2011. Sounds seems like yesterday. I will link that. What is interesting is that there are, I think, for Aries, the departure of planets represents an important end veneer. I'll give two examples, and we're going to move into professional. Professional themes, which means how you express yourself in the world. And by the way, in Western society, a lot of self-actualization is turning your growth process into creative process and expressing something to the world that is not a photo of your tacos. This is pure AI thinking, that you're doing something meaningful by posting a picture of your dinner to your Instagram feed. I tell you, I'm difficult to offend, but that is offensive to me. Planet Waves had a ban on putting photos of food on the website. I've lifted that ban, but for maybe 20 years, I expressly banned the presentation of imagery of food on Planet Waves in case there was someone hungry reading. I can only show you what I can actually feed you. Anyway, we move on. One thing that's happened over the past 7 years for you is this transformation in your values by Uranus in Taurus. And here's another potential impact point of technology represented by Uranus on your most personally held values and your earthy, tangible values of Taurus on the second place, your house of values and self-esteem. And so I suggest you review your priorities over the past, like as they've morphed over the past 10 years. Like it's about to be 2025. So go back to January 2016, and see if you can put some pins on the map of who and what was important to you in 2016. You could even go back 10 more years. This puts us the year before the iPhone came out in 2007, and ask yourself, you know, what was a priority then? This is all part of the self-awareness process. Absolutely, bottom line, necessitated by all this activity in Aries. So you're likely to see there's been some transformations. Well, what were those transformations? What is now de-emphasized? What is emphasized? What do you do more of? What do you do less of? Look back at the pictures of the furniture in your house or your apartment and your relationship to technology and all that. And, you know, make a map, which in this case is your astrology chart, and get a box of pins and start putting pins in the map. Now, regarding personal experience of immediately lived life and also work-related things, Uranus moves into Gemini. This is going to emphasize your relationship with the technology environment as a commerce environment. And as insane as it is to say this, there is a overwhelming number of people involved in some form of e-commerce. I'm involved in the moment of an investigation of an event on involving OnlyFans. This is a website where anyone can turn themselves, any woman, this does not really work for men, any woman can turn herself into a monetizable sexual commodity. Prostitute. There are now more prostitutes working than ever before in the history of the human race because prostitution has gone online. And women you would never imagine, never for a minute think were major stars on Instagram might be. And this has been a complete seizure of women in their 20s and 30s who have now turned their sexual and relational abilities into an e-commerce environment. I would caution about doing anything, selling anything of yourself that does not fully comport with your long-term documented values. But this is the trend. My friend Buck Wolf, who's a top editor over at Huffington Post, said, someday the only sex that will be considered consensual sex will be when you can produce a receipt, a credit card charge of some kind on Venmo or OnlyFans or something like this. That will become the definition of consent, what is documented in a cash transaction. Now, you certainly may not be involved in this in any way, shape, or form. How dare I think of that? But we've got people using Venmo to bill their friends when they come over for dinner, and they send them a Venmo invoice for having made the dinner. So one thing that is essential to be conscious of and to handle it like it is a flamethrower or a lightning bolt generator held in your hands is Uranus in Gemini, is what is monetized in your mind and in your life and what is not monetized in your mind and in your life. And the reason I say monetized is that we start to see interpersonal monetization appear in the third house, which is for you, Gemini. One has one's personal stuff in the second house, your pots and pans, your tools of the trade, your blanket, your cow. But in the third, we start getting into transactions. And there is something to be said here for everything you do being local or having a local grounding point. That means if you're going to do business on the internet, bring that business to the farmer's market once a week, for example, if you can, or something like that to have a local angle. And I, you know, the way that I believe in shopping locally is I will do absolutely anything I can possibly do right in my environment. I'd rather drive to the store and pay more than to get something online. That's getting harder and harder to do. So my personal contribution to this is I know the names of the people that I do business with. I make sure that I only go or absolutely avoid going any place I cannot be social and somewhat flirtatious in that environment. I want to be human and playful is what I am saying. And there's going to be even further, you know, monetization of thought, monetization of the most basic human functions as Uranus moves into Gemini. This will also bestow you with very good ideas. And the combination of Uranus in Gemini and Saturn in Aries may even provide the discipline to be able to harness those ideas in a constructive and a creative way. Now, another thing happening is that Jupiter is going to go into Cancer, and this is strongly encouraging of having a meaningful home life. And this has become very difficult with all of this digital consciousness. South Park was lamenting the death of the living room 10, 15 years ago. South Park takes on serious issues. And Stan Brodlowski, he tries to wage a campaign to save the living room. What's the living room? It's a place where people live together. It's a shared space where people can experience something like watching a movie or, having a party together. And the commentary which we've all seen happen is that, you know, dad's in his room, mom's in her room, sister's in her room, the brother's in his room, the little kids are up there, and everybody's just on the end of a tether to the internet. Jupiter in Cancer, your fourth place, is saying, bring something home. Have a sense of home. If you're in a relationship with someone without kids, guide things in the direction of doing things together at home that are meaningful. Because I know people are out of the house a lot right now. Okay, that's very important emotional grounding for you. Mars retrograde is churning up your creative impulses, but also your creative insecurities. But there's a real idea contained in that Mars retrograde, and that's because it's involved with a series of oppositions to Pluto, which power it up. And Mars is then going to dip into your fourth place, Cancer. Again, this will be mostly in early 2025. And this is suggesting that you not run from your insecurities. Your insecurities are your creative fodder. They are what you are going to tap into to do something real, because the creative process is always a growth process. It's always transformational, self-becoming in some way. And so the courage implied by Leo is also the courage of facing your fears in Cancer. Volcanus. And what I'm seeing in Leo for you is a volcano of creative energy, which you can tap in. But here, it's going to be necessary to be a little more reserved, a little more conservative, being the conscious influence of grooming and of containing and conditioning and focusing your creative energy, because you cannot do everything at once. You can kind of shift your emphasis from topic to topic or place to place, but I think that the most ground that you make is going to be gained through having a couple of areas of specific focus, and along the way doing everything you do with a sense of meaning and purpose and some time structure. Saturn in your first house, Saturn in Aries, is saying work with time and don't live like you have all the time in the world. Work within the constraints of time and learn to use time as an ally rather than as an enemy. Now, we get into a true house of vocation with Virgo in the sixth place. And this is a very strong service orientation, and yet the service orientation is not the kind of thing that most people have much sense of what it is. You know, what are your options? You know, we think of being a cop or a teacher as some kind of a service job, being in the military. That's the original basis of the sixth house, is the military. And I suspect it becomes a house of medical material owing to battlefield medicine being a topic of the sixth house. I'm just drawing the planet Vulcanus into your fifth house, so I remember it's there. Now, there's not a whole lot going on in Virgo right now. Mercury's always dancing around, but there is a very important point in Virgo, which is trans-Pluto. This is one of those hypothetical points. It's not one of the normal eight hypothetical points. It's this other one that emerged in the 60s, much, much after all the other ones. And what that one to me is saying is keep your focus. If you want to accomplish something, do that thing every day. You just have to keep coming back to it. I'm sitting here not 3 months ago, embarked on writing I have no idea how long it was going to be. I knew that it was going to be pretty long. I was estimating about 85,000 words. That's a lot of writing, and the writing has to be good because you're going to read it, right? So the way I did that was I set a goal of 2,000 words a day as a minimum, and if I missed a day, I came back to the next day to do 2,000 words. I wouldn't double it the next day. I would just keep my routine, and then there were days I would far, far exceed that, so I knew that it would average out, but I had a routine that was not etched in stone, but that I would come back to it. And I would always take one day off, at least one day off on the weekend from the project. Definitely one. That was probably how it worked out. That's what I mean by focus. That's what I mean by structure. You have to set a goal, and if you know that that goal is you want to do something, you've got to say, this is what I'm going to do. And then that becomes the thing that you keep coming back to, you keep orienting on, despite other things happening, presidential elections getting in the way, whatever it might be in your life, the kids, the husband, the school, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the day job, whatever, you build that routine, which is daily. Virgo is very quotidian. It's got a very daily feeling. And you come back to that routine quickly upon not having done that, right? You skip a day, you come back. That's it. You don't beat yourself up. You just come back to it. Also involved is Orcus. And I'm not really quite sure how to read that. So I'm going to say that it's there. It's a Pluto-like thing, and it's likely to come with points of obsession. And I'm wondering whether Orcus is somehow about taking yourself hostage, or the sense that you have been transformed by work expectations in a way that you don't want. It's very difficult to defer being a professional musician till you retire from your school teaching job. It is also very difficult to be a professional musician. The discipline involved, the whether you actually have talent involved is very important. Whether you have faith in yourself, whether other things do not get in the way. But if you want to be a professional musician, you have to be a professional musician. And if you are at or near or late in career or at or near retirement age, then that's what you begin in earnest, no matter how hard. And this may require confronting values that you have sacrificed or compromises that you have made, ways in which your neurology has become patterned to not be creative. I mean, to be at a job from 9 to 5, 5 days a week is highly regimented. It's one of the reasons why they could sell us COVID so easily is people got a minute of relief from that. That was the selling point. That was the thing that I found the most appealing was that society just was experiencing some change, some loosening up of these boundaries. And I'm suggesting that you've got to put boundaries around the things that you want the most, while also making sure that you do not become imprisoned by your routines. All right, let's keep on the theme of commerce and look at the relationship house now. So this is partnership. It also influences personal partnerships as well as business partnerships. And if you look at the Libra reading, if you have access to it, I do the most detailed analysis of these 2 points in Libra: Logos and Maki Maki. And Logos is about having a communicable, meaning you can communicate it, I mean, a disease, but it's a similar concept, idea of what you want. So Logos is an ancient Greek concept, not really so much a god, but an ancient Greek concept that we take in our society to mean a logo, right? So what is a logo? A logo reduces the thing that you're trying to communicate down to its most basic unit of communication, a single iconic image that represents you. But that has a much wider idea to it. There's the whole idea behind that, which then goes to the elevator pitch, which then goes to the business plan, which then goes to the full prospectus, and so forth and so on. And then you go for the bank loan, and then you've got to provide all your documents. All that's involved in the Logos, but the pyramid, it's kind of a pyramid or a vortex shaped. What's the main idea? And can you communicate that idea? And so one of the things I suggest you do is that although there will be a lot of pressure and experience of things that do not seem communicable, right, that do not seem relatable, like Chiron Eris, like that, there's not really going to be very easy words to describe that. You keep translating it into words. You keep doing it over and over again. You keep expressing the same thing as many times as you can till you start to understand it. And also, the most basic foundation stone in your relationships, as far as I can tell, has to be a true understanding that you can, not implied understanding, a genuine understanding that can be conveyed in words, and that can include some very strong common interests. Relationships are based on common ground. There are forces in society that would have us think that the relationship between black people and white people is how much we all hate each other. No. The reason that is a patent lie is because it's not a relationship. A relationship is always formed on common ground, and the common ground does not have to be 100%, two exactly the same size circles overlaid in the Venn diagram. No, there's some point of overlay. That common ground is very important. Also, please be cautious of people that you know create a drain on your energy. That vacuum it off. Okay, looking at Scorpio. Now, Scorpio is a very important house for shared resources. Scorpio is the house of shared resources in many ways. It pertains to the themes like sex, which is the ultimate sharing of resources, inheritance, which is another ultimate sharing of resources. But there's a juicy side to Scorpio that is often overlooked, and I think that Scorpio is like spooky and people aren't interested in it because it's like death, the death and sex thing and all of that. But nothing happens without Scorpio. Scorpio is ruled by Mars, by the way. And so there is a very important sexual inflection of the Mars connection to Scorpio in the Mars retrograde bit, fourth, fifth house. We talked about it at the beginning. And this is about how ultimately all desire has something in common with sexual desire. And all intent has something to do with sexual intent, including whether sex is the primary metaphor for desire and intent. Not necessarily have to match exactly 100%, but how a person desires is how a person desires, and how a person expresses their curiosity, another Mars feature, is how they express their curiosity. And so there is an important reminder of Mars through Scorpio that sexual attraction matters. And even if we're talking about a relationship that you do not ever intend to be sexual or know is not going to be sexual, recognize how you respond to that person's sexual vibe. Pay attention to it, because it's going to come up in the relationship in one way or another. And I think that there's a necessity for sexual compatibility in non-sexual relationships. The sexual compatibility can involve comfort, being in the same room. It can involve a recognition of a person's humanity. It can involve the support for their relationships and the happiness at their fulfillment and so forth. All of these are features of sexual relationships. But the most important thing going on in Scorpio right now is that you have the ability to be an important attractor in your environment. And that attraction level is going to be emotional, it's going to be hormonal, and maybe it's going to have something to do with money, but I'd really take the emotional and the hormonal any day over an attraction based on money. But you are a point of attraction. There's another caution coming through out of Scorpio. That's the thing that looks like the Pisces symbol turned sideways. And this actually could be the subject of a whole essay, which is the propaganda that you're fed about yourself. So it's easy to look at the news and think this has got nothing to do with you, or to read an article and think it's got nothing to do with you. But what if you were to imagine that every last thing that you read, the intention of that thing was to somehow convince you that you are this way or that way, to totally influence your opinion of yourself and your state of being, not as an inadvertent act, not as some byproduct of the environment, but as an intentional act by the author, the purveyor, the salesman, the ad writer, the newscaster, to change your view of yourself. So the constant talk of viruses is a way to make you think that you're vulnerable and have no defenses. Constant, nonstop, ongoing. And there's a direct line open that is about to open when Neptune and Saturn enter, which will make you more vulnerable to propaganda about yourself, which is always disempowering. It always to make you out to be nothing. Notice that. You're not nothing. To the contrary, you have a very, very strong spiritual source. The thing is that it can feel distant and abstract. And so the way that you work with that is that you make your spiritual influences real. And it's not about hope, and it's not about wishful thinking, and it's not about make-believe in any form. It's about your developing a relationship with the forces of the cosmos and the forces of your psyche that you know are guiding you toward your inner being and your inner truth. All right, let's end with Pluto and its movement from Capricorn to Aquarius. So for the last 15, 16 years, you've had a very strong influence of Pluto moving through the most important house associated with vocation, calling, professional reputation, and career, Pluto in Capricorn. And it is likely this has been a bumpy ride. Pluto in Capricorn's been a bumpy ride, but there were a couple of really bumpy points. One of those bumpy points was likely to have been around 2011-12 during the Pluto, square of Uranus and Pluto. And then another, then, you know, 2008 before that was like, you know, a series of collapses that reshaped many people's lives and many people's careers, not talked about now. Then followed by 2011, 2012, and then another major peak in 2019 with Saturn, 18, 19, with Saturn in Capricorn, and then Saturn conjunct Pluto in Capricorn. And what this has done is essentially demolish any sense of your understanding of how to create a vocational life, how to follow a calling, how to establish a reputation. This has gone from what was certainly lodged partially in the physical world in 2008 and before to something that is now totally lodged in the digital world, unless you're one of those people who is purely in the direct service economy, where you walk into a place and you say, I can chop onions. You walk into a butcher shop and you say, I am a journeyman butcher. I've been doing this for 10 years. That's not so digital, but almost everything else is digital. And so the crucial thing here is that while you maintain your earthly grounding, your professional life is now largely under the thrall, as is Taurus, under the thrall of Pluto in Aquarius. And what Pluto in Aquarius is doing is it is making this digital being, this digital concept of you reign supreme over all the other ones that are so much more cuddly and human, and which relate to cats and dogs. And so while you are embracing and exploring this rapidly changing new social environment, keep your grounding on gardening and plants and kitty cats and, you know, your pet's darling. But there is also a need for you to bring the full force of your genius to being able to work within the very, very rapidly changing environment that is going to shock the world from the internet outward, and to really have a sense of where you stand and where we stand in relation to this whole thing. This is going to include various lockdowns, shutdowns, clampdowns. An essential strategy in this is redundancy. You will never see me exclusively have Planet Wave materials parked on somebody else's platform. There's always going to be a major component that is in-house. Therefore, my suggestion is, along those lines, is make sure that you have multiple points of contact open in the event of some form of a crackdown or clampdown or a deplatforming or a censorship event, because you don't know what you're doing might be perfectly fine with everyone today, and then in 5 years, all of a sudden, that's the thing that's public enemy number one, which happens in the most ridiculous ways. So maintaining multiple outlets and multiple levels of contact, including, as emphasized by Uranus and Gemini, Pluto and Aquarius is saying, get your ass into the community to events in the community. This can include the cheesy, ridiculous Chamber of Commerce breakfasts, if they happen, in your community, and whatever art openings and real estate openings, and basically get out there and press the flesh and kiss the babies and meet the dogs and cats, because you want to make sure that there is a very significant part of your total reality. So it may not be the majority, but it certainly should be the plurality of your existence that has grounding and contact in physical contact with people. This is coming from every angle, particularly from the air signs and Scorpio, to be a point of gathering and to work the social territory, which can seem a little bit like being in a science fiction novel these days, where everyone's forgotten everything, but you have to be the one who remembers. One last point, there's two centaurs that accompanied Pluto into Aquarius, Amicus and Aureus. And these both indicate a form of disruption, but Amicus is purely, I know it sounds like a friendly word, but it's not. It's one of the most hostile of the centaurs. And this is to recognize toxic disruption when you see it versus the kind of disruption that can come from someone like Steve Jobs or which you could say is toxic, but really he was a creative person, or Nelson Mandela, for example, the creation of memes and of concepts and ideas that you're able to share and experiment with versus influences in your environment that just want to come in and smash things, like the suffragettes smashing up the bars with the crowbar and breaking all the liquor bottles. And getting the whatever the amendment was that banned alcohol in the United States passed, and in the process inventing the modern day mafia. So much for smashing the patriarchy. The mafia was invented by bootlegging. You know, and you got a major business boost by bootlegging. Make sure you know the difference between those who are kind of creative weavers, who are not all perfect people, and not all these projects turn out well, but as compared to the sanctimonious person with the crowbar walking in and smashing everything, because there's a lot of smashing that's going to happen, and make sure that you know who the smashers are and keep your distance from them or engage with them in a way where you can track and monitor their behavior and their progress through society. All right, that's what I have to say to you and for you. I trust that there was something in this of some value. Please explore the other signs. So far, we're not going to any single sign. Everyone's going to have two, so far as I know. It's worth it because it's good to have a whole second perspective. And there are going to be things that you read in the signs that are not supposed to be written for you at all, but where maybe I elaborate a point that I made here more. Every reading has a different emphasis and things are elaborated more. In the early readings, I'm much more emphasizing, Aries, the events in Aries. So you'll get a few different viewpoints on that. And of course, if you track my writing as I develop this as an ongoing developing story, you will be in touch with my latest thoughts on all of this momentous stuff. All right, so the Awakening audio readings are officially underway with Aries complete. I've done warm-ups before I got to Aries. I did two warm-ups before I came to this reading to make sure that you were not the warm-up. And I wrote a whole book before I did the Aries written reading to make sure that you were not the warm-up, that I was already, I had already thrown a few pitches before I got on the mound. So here we are. Thank you again for your business and most of all for your trust. And I'll catch you somewhere else around the wheel. Signing off from Kingston, 12:04 p.m. Lots of love and bye for now.